hello, and welcome back to another episode of Drone World. Today we're back with part two of the conversation between Kev and Paul about Paul's story, where he started, and how copters came about. The guys have already talked about mindset and having a brain scan. What interesting things will they come out with today? Let's find out.
Working with someone like you, who's as a CEO, it's very refreshing to work in a business that is very much marketing-led, well, sales and marketing-led. So when you come in the market position, then there's that added, not added pressure, but you know that the people in the C-suite, the CEO, the business owners, they have marketing knowledge. So it automatically levels you up and makes you perform at a higher level. But the key thing that a lot of people don't do anymore, like you always say, it's a dying art, and it's something that you want to bring in across all your businesses and bring it in-house, is the art of great copy. Now, I know that you and Steve, when you were doing your other businesses, it was all about the copywriting and all about the ability to sell.
I would put it down to storytelling. There's an amazing book called Sapiens, which I can never do the book justice, but it talks about how Homo sapiens evolved to become the dominant species on planet Earth. And it's our ability to tell and embrace stories. And that's what copywriting is. It's telling a story, making it colourful, evocative, compelling. And as marketeers, it's our job to take a great product concept that delivers massive value to an audience and bring that to life, to emote the audience, to feel the benefit and the need in that. Mm-hmm. And you and your team do that brilliantly, and we can always improve on that. And unashamedly, pretty much all the businesses that I'm involved in are marketing led, because you can have the best product in the world with the best shop window, but if you get nobody into the shop, you're never going to sell a thing. And that's what marketing and storytelling is all about. Getting people to your shop or in your shop, be it a physical shop or be it a virtual shop. And the art of storytelling through imaginative, emotionally compelling, educational, entertaining, multimedia copy. We have the four P's. I can't remember what they are. Poet, professor, preacher,
promoter. Yeah, absolutely.
So that we got our IEEE 3M 4P, all of these. And we've kind of systemized it.
Absolutely. It's like we do our market meetings now, and everybody actually says, well, I'm going to do this promoter piece of copy, and then I'm going to do this preacher bit of comedy. It's brilliant.
But the best businesses in the world tend to be the most adept businesses at marketing themselves. How many times have we seen great products fail because they didn't have the marketing behind them?
Absolutely.
They didn't look at getting that element of virality, that compulsion to share, to comment, to like, and or to use the power of networks, collaborations, joint ventures to really fast scale to blitz scale organizations. I think that's what separates some great people with great ideas from some good ideas that have just got great marketing behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people, when a lot of the words that you use in their emotion, storytelling, a lot of people think you can't do that or implement that in B2B. You're wrong, because that's what we do. Copters, very much B2B and enterprise. And even with your new Venture Academy that I really want to talk about, and I feel like we've got a real glimpse into what made you the man today. It's some really amazing insights in terms of the methodology, the process, and the approach that you've adopted to get you to where you are now. We've even spoke about how you're still running six businesses, and one of those businesses is fairly new, and it just fits in perfectly with your core values that are inherent, and one is disruption. And we're going into a new industry, looking to disrupt it with a new product. Tell us about it.
Wow, what an intro. We talked earlier about growth mindset. We talked about biohacking. We talked about ambition, scaling businesses to eight figures. Now, what I learned so far on my relatively short journey because I do believe I've got 50 plus years ahead of me.
Mm-hmm. 120 years.
Yes, exactly. Is the need to balance improving skills and knowledge with health and well-being. And when I looked out there, what's available to do that, I'll be honest, I came up blank. And what's necessity is the mother of invention. I don't know who coined that phrase. But in the case of Academy, necessity was very much the mother of invention, because as we saw the world start to struggle at the onset of COVID, when we became detached from our friends, to some extent our families, our colleagues, we had to adapt to different ways of working and communicating. And what it did, it accelerated the move towards digital delivery of various things. And one of those areas was advanced digital learning. Now, if anybody in the last 18 months has not felt some form of stress, anxiety, isolation, depression, or that kind of feeling, something's not quite right, I'd be astonished, because I know I have. But equally, when we are remote, when we've got access to technology, there's so much more opportunity to use that time well. And because I'm obsessed personally in a really positive way about learning, the more I learn, the more I want to know. And because I'm obsessed about continually optimizing my own health and well-being, and the absence of something there to address that challenge, I thought, well, there must be an opportunity in this. So together with you, Kev, and some of the team, we looked at where the opportunity was, and we've come up with a hugely disruptive new holistic learning platform that is Academy, that balances the upskilling of people with their holistic health and well-being, all delivered online in one platform that allows the users to select content specific to their needs and wants, and to consume that content in a way that best suits their lifestyle and their learning style. Some people very much favour the written word, you know, highly visual. Some people are very kinesthetic, so they prefer a little bit of interactivity. Others prefer auditory content to be able to listen to when they're walking. And that's exactly what Academy does. And as projects go, I think it's one of the most exciting things that I've ever been involved with. It's got the most amazing team on it so far. Our ambitions are truly global. We want to accelerate digital learning to transform lives on a global stage. We're just starting a UK launch, which has so far been phenomenal. And already organisations such as John Lewis have signed up to the platform. And for an organisation like John Lewis, who really do care about their people, that's an amazing testimonial to get at such an early stage of the enterprise. So, so excited, as I know you are, because you're working on this together. And I'm laying off you and your team on this.
I tell you what, this project is so exciting, and it gets to the core of your values, also my values as well. I think it's the first time in any business that I've worked at where I've been passionate enough to go in front of the camera. I've always got a saying that marketing stays behind the scenes, because no one likes to be sold to or marketed to. So you don't, whenever you create something amazing, you don't want people to feel like they've been done by marketing or sold to. But for the first time ever, I'm just like, yeah, I'm actually really passionate about this. So, yeah, I'm going to get involved at that level as well.
I just want to echo the conversation that we had a week ago when I was running on the seafront in Mallorca. And I said to you, you brought tears to my eyes. It's the first time in my business life that I've consumed any piece of content that's been created from within my peer group that's brought a tear to my eye. And to see you in front of camera introducing day one of the onboarding program with such passion, sincerity, warmth and emotion, it really moved me to a level that I've never been moved before. And that it just sings to the heart of what we value as people. Yeah. And we're very different people, but we've got some real close overlap on what we value. So, hats off to what you've done so far and the amazing work that you and the team are doing on this.
but likewise because it's been a journey so far and we're only at the start of it. And as we know from everything that the roadmap that you've laid out, there's going to be big challenges. There's still going to be ups and downs. We're going to face a lot of road bumps. But the key word that you said throughout is you've got to have resilience. Yeah. If you want to be an entrepreneur, you've got to have resilience, and safe is dangerous.
Yeah. Well, when we look at where we're at, where we're going to, the whole education technology, edtech sector is on the verge of huge disruption. When you look at what this could look like to disrupt the way higher education is delivered, we have a whole year group of students who've done the first year of a degree course completely virtually. Wow. They've missed out on the whole freshers experience. They've missed out on the whole social scene. They're really devoid of that social interaction. But equally, I think there's some magic in some kind of hybrid model for the way further and higher education is delivered. Because if you can adopt that hybrid model, it also has major sustainability benefits, potentially to help save the planet, to reduce the CO2 footprint, to reduce the number of bus or train journeys to and from university. Because there certainly are efficiencies in delivering learning digitally. I don't think we'll ever get to a point where it's a fully digital delivery, but there's some amazing artificial intelligence add-ons, and the technology stack that we're building in Cademy and the amazing roadmap of developments will see us really push the frontiers about what really is possible in delivering education technology to both upskill across the board of technical and commercial skills, with Cademy a real focus on the skills that are in scarce supply, the skills that are more needed as we, as an economy, face this whole era of digital disruption, where a significant proportion of the workforce will be de facto redundant because the jobs will be done by computers or by a bot. And there's the whole emergence of more coding required, more UI, UX, and you probably much more articulately tell me where those skills are going to be required.
Well, I'll tell you what, you always hear the saying, it's, we're not going to get digitally disrupted. You know, we're solid. And it's like, actually, every single industry, every single vertical will be disrupted at some point. Some it's already happened to. Some, I mean, one example that we always put in is, you see it, it's like estate agents. You remember the journey before. Yeah. I mean, we were old enough. It's like, before Rightmove, you didn't know what the houses were. You saw them in the window. You had to ring up, tell them your requirements. You had to book an appointment in an estate agent where they had paper, pictures, all the words on it. And then they showed you. And then you went to the house. That's when you found out. Now, I can do all that online. And estate agents, for me, have just turned into door openers.
Yeah. Well, just to take that in a slightly different direction. I've talked about about ed tech. I'm also involved in a fast scale-up health tech company.
Yeah.
Involved in the provision of occupational health services to corporates, traditionally a service delivered on-premise with a huge environmental footprint, hugely inefficient. And with the advances in telemedicine and wearable technology with remote diagnosis, the likes of which has become prevalent in the COVID era, we're looking in that organisation, Latest Health, with a brand called Yoda, to really disrupt that whole delivery of occupational health services and, you know, bring, almost democratise occupational health to the SME level, making it much more affordable, but also massively reducing the carbon footprint of that sector in general.
And you said something there about SME making it more affordable. I think that's one of the key things about Cademy. It's designed for SMEs and we're very transparent on the pricing. A lot of SMEs, and we've seen this from speaking to them, don't know what it is in most cases, i.e. the e-learning platform, or if they do, they think it's not for them because they're an SME and it's big organisations. And what we're actually saying is, we built a platform that is for everyone, absolutely everyone, and it's got all the content and courses that you would need to cover every aspect of your life.
It's absolutely that. It's that democratisation
to
give access to anybody that wants it, because everybody can and will benefit from it.
Absolutely. When they talk about the wealthy, and I think it's Stephen Bartlett. I know we're both fans of Stephen Bartlett. We love listening to his podcasts and read his book. And
Dragon's Den, I believe he's about
Dragon's Den, yeah. That's one of your favourite shows. Yeah, I absolutely love every week coming. Did you see Dragon's Den? Did you see this? Yeah. Can we do something? I know what happens. But Stephen Bartlett, he's very much on, he sold for $200 million his social chain business, made it wildly successful, but he was really unhappy while doing it all, which is the big thing, because he bought into the entrepreneurial, like, you've got to be hustling. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that to be an entrepreneur, you don't need to work hard, you need to work doubly hard. But like you said, you work hard and smart, and you get more efficient, and you make sure you leverage. And I think it's something that I learned from you. It's like, don't be wasting your time doing £10 work, and then do only what you can do, which is so important. But Stephen Bartlett said, what he's actually realized is knowledge unlocks everything. And that's the key ingredient that wealthy people have. If that's what you aspire to have, wealth accumulation, is they have access to knowledge. And when you think about Academy, what we want to do, like you said, we're giving people that access to everything, because the content and course on here are from global experts from around the world, and it covers everything from personal finance through to, I know we're putting crypto courses on there. So, I mean, it covers everything, and we're giving people access.
Yeah, can't wait to watch that roadmap steadily be delivered and work with you and your team on that.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. There's something else that you just said that was a running theme, which was, it's the sustainability angle. Now, I know this is something that's been brought into Copters, but everything that you were talking there, even with Academy, the sustainability angle, I know we partner with Ecology, we've now got a carbon neutral workforce, you offset the carbon professionally and personally of what people do, people use within Copters and Academy and probably your other business as well. But sustainability seems to be a big thing for you now, whereas before it maybe wasn't.
Correct. I think with a bit of grey hair and a bit of success comes huge responsibility. Certainly having two young children and becoming curious and more informed on the realities of the challenges that are facing. As a business leader, we've got to act. And you know, since we made the commitment to go carbon neutral as a workforce, I think we've planted something like 1,600 trees in 5 months, which, you know, it had a couple of hundred tons of carbon dioxide. And it's a start. I'm not saying that's enough, but making more responsible choices with travel, with the food that we eat. What shocked me was the carbon emissions from meat production exceeding the carbon emissions from fossil fuel use in the world. And could be a bit more articulate with that statistic, but that was absolutely shocking. Now, I think sustainability, you can sum it up, preserving people, the planet, and the bit that sometimes people miss is profits. Because by acting responsibly to preserve people and the planet, that can still deliver profitability. So sure, there's a degree of altruism, but there's absolute commerciality in these decisions. And businesses and business people should not be afraid or ashamed of making profits, because it's those profits that are then reinvested into new projects. One of my other projects is a company called Vault, which is enabling EV charging infrastructure to enable companies to electrify their mobility, decarbonize, all towards the UK's commitment to net carbon zero by 2050, is it? Or is it 2030?
It used to be 2050, but they've had to bring it forward because of the acceleration. Now, I know there's some 2030 is one of the dates, but I'm sure there's 2040 still in the pipeline as well. Don't quote us on those facts.
So the investments that I'm making in terms of time and building teams are around more sustainable technology, sustainable business, looking into solar PV with battery storage to provide carbon-free energy to charge the EV fleet that companies will be evolving. Involved in another business, Cocoon, which is a whole house retrofit to reduce the carbon emissions from the UK's housing stock. And to some extent, the whole of the UK government's commitment to net carbon zero is predicated on reducing emissions from buildings, which mm-hmm. are built generally at lowest cost for aesthetic reasons. We've got to make some major changes in there.
We're so far behind European countries. I mean, some countries, you're only allowed to build new houses at passive house standards.
Wow.
In the UK, it's like, we're not even close to that. Pockets of developments.
Yeah, the vast majority of our housing stock needs upgrading at major cost. And with the price of energy as it is, there's very little commercial incentive for a owner-occupier and or a tenant to be able to afford that. So the government are having to intervene with subsidy.
Yeah.
The Green Home Grants project, which was shelved as one of those, and the energy company obligation. So there's a lot of positive investment in improving housing stock. So I am blessed to work with some amazing people across an array of different businesses where we're looking at championing sustainability as the number one core value in the business.
And that is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it's just to be part of organisations that make such a difference and are purpose-driven. And I think that's a key thing. Now, we're coming near to the end of the podcast. I tell you what, this time has flown by.
Yeah,
absolutely flown by. So I'm going to ask you just a couple of quick-fire questions. First one, I know you love your cars. Absolutely love them. So if you were to buy an electric car, which one would it be based on what's coming out? What's got your eye?
Great question. I love the Porsche Taycan.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the extreme of performance, the Tesla make great vehicles. Mm-hmm. We know that. Packed with technology. The market's changing so quickly. At the bottom of the market, there's some amazing new product coming from some of the Korean manufacturers.
Yeah.
I think the government's OZEV scheme, Office for Zero Emission Vehicles, and zero benefit in kind tax is a great incentive towards a more scalable adoption. I think 50% of consumers are currently considering an EV. Mm-hmm. So the sales are ramping up massively, but I love my performance cars.
Yeah,
the Taycan would be the one that I'd be looking at.
Amazing. Next question. So learning and reading is a big thing. If I was to say like the top three nonfiction books that you've read that had the biggest impact on your life, either professionally or personally, what would they be?
For a general text to open your eyes as to human beings, it would be Sapiens. Mm-hmm. The whole concept of what differentiates us compared to all other living things on the planet and why we succeeded. Potentially a life-changing book.
Yeah.
And not a day goes by where I don't stop and think about the way I see stories told in life and how I can now empathize with what's written in Sapiens. Another great book was Blue Ocean Thinking, which talks about true differentiation in product rather than trying to swim in a sea of sharks in a red ocean where everybody's fighting and eating each other. Creating uncontested market space by a product that's first, most, only, best. Fantastic book on how to position products. Mm-hmm. I think the third book with regard to people, because ultimately everything comes back to attract, develop and retain great people in a great culture. It would be probably a little known book called Multipliers. It's a book that I distilled into a couple of pages of notes, which I regularly revisit to check myself on how well I'm doing in creating the conditions of success for my people and how well I'm not doing being an accidental diminisher. You know, accidentally stepping in to get involved in a situation rather than further empowering people and coaching for them to make other decisions.
I remember Multipliers is a big, it's one of the books that you make everybody at Copters when they join read, especially the leadership team. I remember reading it and thinking, yeah, that's absolutely spot on and you'd really post-reflect with it. One last question, podcast. Which one would you recommend for any budding or established entrepreneur to listen to if they only had one to choose from?
I'll probably bring this back to mindsets. And the most contemporary thing that I've listened to in quite some time, and it's pretty new, it's by Jake Humphries and Damien Hughes.
Yeah.
And it's very simply, High Performance Podcast. And it's Jake and Damien interviewing a lot of sportsmen, a lot of successful business people, just talking about the attitude, beliefs, mindsets, habits, rituals that create high performance, defining what high performance is and what it isn't. Because in many cases, these are people that you know, you've seen on TV and film, you can really empathize with them. And what they do is they really open up with great integrity. And there's some really memorable ones on there, some real unexpected gems. It's kind of addictive because there's such amazing moments in that. Stephen Bartlett's podcast is great, and a really interesting one for entrepreneurship. I know you only asked for one.
No, no, go for it. I think I know what you're going to say.
My First Million.
Yeah.
two guys, very much San Fran, techie in US, but some amazing ideation there. Mm-hmm. You know, studying some of the billionaires, the real creators over there. A constant source of inspiration and ideas.
Yeah, well, you send me a message every week. Have you listened to this one, Kev? I love it. And you got me onto that. Paul, we have come, sadly, to the end of the podcast. That's been awesome.
Likewise.
It's been really good, really good. And the one book that I would recommend everybody read, because if you didn't know it already, Paul Loon is a number one bestseller, eight-figure entrepreneur. So he's too humble to say that is one of the books that if you are looking to start out or you are more established and you've got a business and you just, a lot of the things that Paul's just spoken about here can also be found in the book, but in a lot more depth. He's also has his website. If you check it out, he's got a business accelerator program. It's 12 weeks, a lot of great assets on there. And as always, you never know if you've got a great business venture. Paul is always open if you get in touch with him through his website and just tell him a little bit about it.
Thanks, Kev. Yeah. Thank you for creating the opportunity. And thanks for all the great work you, the Copters and Academy team are doing. Thanks for keeping me lean and on my toes with the challenge and the support that you give to the whole enterprises. Thank you.
No, likewise. Thank you very much, Paul. Great show. And that's it, guys. That's a wrap. We will see you next week for the next episode of Drone World. Until then, just make sure that you share this podcast around and make sure you subscribe and follow. And we will see you next week. Have a great one, guys.